What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to another Tour Life. You got Yuli back in the studio, myself. If you were here for the live stream, you got to see a nice little circus, little we had no idea what we were doing. If you're listening,
circus act, that's yeah, for sure.
If you're listening to this later on the podcast, or if you're on here the next day, you won't see any of the shenanigans that went down. This is only for the live streamers, so we appreciate it. We got it all working. With that being said, Silas is not with us today, so it was a bit of a struggle bus for me, but we got it going, and we have a decent show today. Nothing too crazy. A couple player movement things to talk about, but before we get into that, I do want to give a quick shout-out to our sponsor of this episode. Cheers to the new year from our friends at Manscaped, because your resolutions shouldn't be the only things that are well-kept. 2024 is the time for new heights, new opportunities, and a new look for your Times Square balls. Dark horse. Manscaped's Lawnmower 5.0 Ultra is every man's cheat code to look good, feel good, and turn the page on confidence this year. Whether you're looking to maintain a trim or go for the clean covered, trusted by over 10 million men worldwide, now is your time to get a grip on your grooming with our exclusive offer. Go to manscaped.com and use code BANTER20 for 20% off plus free shipping. Happy New Year, or happy new balls. we got to get our code BANNER20. Hey, shout out to the Banner. I love the Banner podcast, but come on, let's get a Tour Life code. What are we doing here?
Yeah.
Shout out to Manscaped though. Appreciate you guys. All right, let's talk about what's going to go down here. Today, Wednesday, December, January 3rd, 2023. We've got player movement. We've got people signing, people leaving. Literally 5 seconds before the show, I'm talking to the people in the chat, and someone's like, I hope they talk about this. And I'm like, what? I had to go research it. I don't know what's going on. I can't wait to hear your opinion on it. We got a wild story of the week. We got the biggest flops in disc golf history, Yuli. I want to hear your biggest flops. And then we got a few listener questions to end it on, and that's going to be the show. But before we get into it, how's it going, brother?
It's going great, man.
Happy New Year, man.
You had a great Christmas, great New Year. It's been awesome, honestly. I missed being on the pod last week, though. That sucked.
50. You missed number 50, brother.
I know.
It was a big one for us.
Just didn't have any internets. Yeah. And, you know, it was the holidays, so.
Yeah.
Is what it is. But no, I had a good time. I mean, Christmas was awesome. Another new year. It's 2024.
Crazy. Feels like it was 2000 not that long ago. And everyone was freaking out.
It's been nuts, man. It's
24.
Been nuts.
We definitely didn't talk about the holidays. Should that be something we discuss in the future? We kind of were just like, yeah, we're just going to do the podcast. But maybe we should take a day off, potentially, or film early. And then have it released. Yeah. So we're not doing the podcast around Christmas or New Year's.
Yeah, that's kind of tough. Yeah, that's kind of tough.
That's on me. I didn't even think about that.
But it doesn't matter. I would have done it if I could, but I couldn't because I couldn't.
Sure.
Either way, I did watch the episode. Great episode. Thank you to the Goose Man and Ezra. They did a fantastic job. All of our guest podcast hosts are freaking awesome.
They're really lucky. Good. Yeah.
Did they like it? That's what I want to know.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, here's the thing. You know, it is kind of a hit or miss situation on what kind of topics we talk about. Yeah. They didn't get easy topics, right? The Natalie Ryan PGA mm-hmm. situation, that is by far not an easy topic for anyone to discuss. So shout out to them for still coming on and you know, giving their opinions and their thoughts on it. But I think they enjoy it. And the way it works really well, you know, me and you obviously can talk about anything with them too. Like, we have so many conversations after tournaments.
Yeah.
And we, you know, we're chilling in the same Airbnb. So it is more of a comfortable conversation with those guys than maybe someone that I've never, but honestly, all of our co-hosts that we had come on, they're all guys that we're super cool with. I don't think we'll ever have a co-host come on that we're like,
that'd be weird. That'd be dark horse.
Maybe we do it one time though. Maybe we each have, maybe this is what we have to do. We each pick the other person's co-host.
Oh man. That would be crazy.
Yeah, or maybe that's a bet. Maybe we come up with a bet, and then the loser gets to pick the other person's co-host.
I like that. I love
that.
Bets.
That could be interesting.
I did want to say, I got a lot of DMs and messages from people, and I know you did too, who got Christmas presents with some Yuli gear, some Yuli discs. So shout out to them. Thank you for the support. If you're looking for a birthday gift in the future or something, go to discraft.com, click team, go to our names, wherever it is, click on there, and you can find all of our stuff. We got plenty of discs and apparel, but the people who did do it for Christmas and everything, thanks for hitting me up in those DMs and showing me that you guys appreciate those gifts and the thoughtful people who did that for you. So,
yeah, I saw a couple Yuli horse buzzes that were kind of given as gifts and stuff, so that was cool. And speaking of merch, we've got merch coming very, very soon. Whenever you see us wearing it, that means it's coming close. So we're not, neither one of us are wearing it. Yuli's got his bowling Pittsburgh Steelers on.
My lucky shirt, dude.
I'm wearing my Gators jersey because we just did a card pulling. And if you don't know, I'm in the card collecting hobby now. Like, I'm deep in it. My counter has, let me do the numbers real quick. Maybe $1,500 worth of boxes right now sitting on my counter waiting for me to open. And I think we've got like $2,000 worth of boxes coming.
We need to do a great unboxing together they make those like those one unboxings where you can get like a real nice one. Maybe we go 50-50 and it's one card. And then that way
We've done a couple of the, you like doing those?
I don't. Those are a little scarier for me. I'm saying for the cast because we don't want to be here like fumbling around with a bunch of cards.
Saying on the podcast you want to do an opening. Yeah. Okay. We can look into that. Yeah, we can look into that. We're super excited to get that channel going. I'm doing it actually with one of my buddies from college who was on the national championship team with me as well. So very cool stuff. And we got maybe some disc golf cards coming too. So that will be really exciting to open some disc golf cards as well. So I've been busy doing that. And then also, not sure if you saw the tweet, top 100 in the world in risk right now.
I did see that.
Yeah.
I did see that. That's impressive,
I love that game. I love that game. It's a really, really good game.
I'm actually, when I was a little bit younger, my brother and I and a bunch of friends, we used to play that every Friday night. So I know a bit about risk.
Yeah. It's a very, very cool game. So, all right, enough about us. Let's talk about what happened
More thing about us.
Yeah, sorry. Go for it.
Yeah. I'm not taking this off until Sunday. This is my lucky shirt. I'm keeping it on the whole time.
Who are you guys playing?
Pittsburgh? We play the Ravens, man.
Ooh, yep.
But they're sitting everybody. This is great. They're sitting everybody.
Night.
No. Sitting everybody. And then the Bills are playing the Dolphins. They need to lose. If those things happen, straight in.
Last thing about card collecting. If you like fantasy football.
Yeah.
Card collecting is like it's nuts because me and my buddy, we have a signed Quinn Ewers jersey. And real quick, let me explain how this channel is working. We both are married. He actually has two kids, and we basically both got our wives' permission to start this channel and invest in it and open cards, collect, and all that stuff. At a certain point, though, the wives are going to step in and be like, enough's enough. You guys are spending way too much money. So the goal of the whole channel is hopefully to build up the channel to get more viewers to where we're making decent amount of money on YouTube. And then also we are going to sell some of the stuff we pull to hopefully continue the channel as well, right?
Fuel your hobby, of course.
Correct. So one of the things that we have is a Quinn Ewers signed jersey.
Which is really cool.
So if you watch that game, me and Sage are going nuts because if Quinn Ewers has that last second drive and freaking throws the game-winning touchdown, he's a Texas legend.
Yeah.
And that jersey's going for 3X, 4X on eBay. It is, if you like the fantasy football and you're like rooting for your guys, it's crazy now having some of these like rookies and stuff, and yeah, you're just like, let's freaking go.
Oh man, it's addicting, bro.
It's fun. It's really, really fun. So, all right, let's talk some disc golf. Let's jump into it. A couple big stories to talk about. The first one that I want to get into is Eagle McMahon. We've had theories after theories. You missed my theory last week.
Yeah.
We've got a new one, though.
Okay.
So I get a tweet from Ozzy, and he goes, hey, man, have you seen that post that is alleging that Eagle accidentally uploaded his departure video from Discmania on YouTube? That caught my attention. I was like, what? I didn't see anything. What are you talking about? So you go to this post. Someone posted on Reddit saying that they were just kind of browsing YouTube and they saw this post pop up that was titled like basically he was announcing that he was leaving Discmania. And he ends up like, I think, going and playing disc golf or doing something and coming back to that video to look at it again. And it's private. And I checked the video link that is there. It's hard to say what that video link is actually to because you can't see whose channel it is or anything like that. It just pops up. So the video link that he does currently have is private. Could he have made up a video himself and made it private? Sure. But is there a world that we can believe that Eagle posted a video by accident, right? He maybe scheduled it for a day early or a week early. It was supposed to be scheduled for next Monday and it got scheduled here. Saw that it went up and instead of like deleting the video, immediately went on and clicked private to where now no one can see it. That's not the craziest theory in the world.
No, that's got to be what happened. I've done it before, clicked it up, had a bad title or something, been like, oh no, I didn't mean to upload it.
Go private, fix it, whatever. Mm-hmm. Now, the one thing that isn't adding up to me for this, post notifications. So we have people here on YouTube. Every time we post on YouTube or go live on YouTube, something gets sent to them saying, hey. Now, I will say, though, sometimes those post notifications take a little bit of time to get sent out. They get delayed. So is there a world where he makes the video, privates it before the post notifications even come out? Maybe. I don't know. But this caught my interest. And I don't know, man.
Eagle's gone, dude.
You think so? No shot.
He's gone.
Okay.
I don't know where. But he's gone.
All right. You heard it here first. Eagle is leaving Discmania.
Because here's the thing. If it was me, I would shut it all down if I was staying. I'd be like, no, I'm staying. Like, this is silly.
That is weird. Yeah.
You get what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And because he hasn't come out and say that, he's gone. It's simple to me. I don't know where. I probably know where.
I mean, you see it. You see it when, like, you know, when someone's like, a starting quarterback has like a bad game and they talk to the coach and the coach just doesn't come straight out like, no, he's starting next week.
Yeah.
What are you guys talking about? You guys are idiots. And he kind of like beats around the bush.
Yeah.
That's kind of telling. So we shall see what happens. All right. Other news, Alden Harris and Gannon Burr both announced almost simultaneously on Instagram that they are leaving Prodigy.
Yeah.
We kind of saw this coming, right? The first one was Gannon when he joined a different collector group. Where is he going to go? Is he actually going to go to Discmania? You know, is Discmania going to basically clear cap space, if you will, by not re-signing Eagle and bringing in Gannon?
What about like a trade? What if they did a trade?
Yeah, we haven't really heard about that. I have seen people speculate, like, is that ever possible?
They just trade contracts. They're like, all right, we'll take yours. We'll take the cap space, or you make cap space. We'll take over what he owes. Hey, that'd be a good trade because Gannon probably didn't have, like, a $1 trillion contract because we saw all that.
Oh, so Eagle now gets, like, Gannon's smaller contract?
Well, no, but in order to get rid of him, you know, it was pretty simple stuff.
Hey, hats off to Gannon, though. He did a really good announcement video about leaving. He dropped pretty much every major company's tagline or something that it, you can reference or, you know, relate to something. He said leading edge. He said champion. He said, I'm a dynamic player. He said world leader in disc sports. He said, reinvent my game. So very clever post.
I was doing my investigating during that thing. I'm like, where is he doing this video from?
Ooh. Okay.
Have I seen this before? You know what I mean? And then, obviously he's reading off of teleprompter.
Yeah. Sure.
And so then I'm like, who has teleprompters? not everybody's up like that right now.
You don't think it's like just someone holding like big signs and just like putting one big sign next to the next big sign?
It could be, man.
Oh. I did get confirmation from both Gannon and Alden that when and I get it, you know, people want to do their own announcements and all that stuff. That's fine. Do we want people to come on here and announce where they're going? Yes, that would be glorious. But we get it. It's not going to happen every time. But they did say once the announcement drops, they will come on and talk about it.
So I mean, I was hoping Connor opened that door for everybody.
I know, he kind of did.
Yeah, and then everybody comes here. But then John Rahm shut the door on us. That was a bummer.
Yeah, he did tell me he is down to do an interview with us. Just he's kind of radio silent.
Right. I would be too.
Also, we have George Kittle too, also saying that he's down to do an interview. But I'm very nervous.
Is he leaving?
Should we try to do the interview before the playoff? Like, I'm nervous. It's like, when's a good time to do that?
I don't know, man. That's a good.
Because like, if they win the Super Bowl, he's obviously going to be on cloud nine and be like, heck yeah.
Maybe we schedule him after. And then when he's trying to get on all the big ones, you know, like he's trying to get on Pat McAfee and he's trying to get on the Herd and all this stuff. Yeah. And then all of a sudden, I don't have time for you guys. I have a scheduled interview on Tour Life, actually.
What is today? Today's Wednesday. Let me message him real quick and just see. I'll just see like how's it going. I'll just say like, any chance or any availability
ever. we're gonna get him. He's coming on.
I mean, he's gonna have a week bye. He's gonna have a week bye. So leading into the week bye might not be a bad time. I just don't want to like try to get him after like drops a catch and a touchdown to win the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
And then it's like
we want him at when he makes the catch.
Yes. Yes. Or before he makes the catch.
He got hit hard this last week. Did you see that?
Ooh. Dude, tight ends get wrecked all the time. My goodness. All right. Other players announcements here. We have Emerson Keith signing with Innova. How did you find out about that? Well, if you just went to their website on January 1st, his photo was there. Yeah. So this isn't new, right? This is something that Innova always does where they make a list and they post it on their website. However, my question to you, Yuli, is let's say Innova was going to sign like Ricky Wysocki. Ricky was going to come back to Innova.
Yep.
Do you think we would find out about that by the team page on January 1st? Or do you think they would have something? You would know better than me.
Man, the things that come to mind, I just can't even say.
So you, okay. Because
I don't think, I'll Emerson, just say, I don't Emerson think they care.
Emerson won on tour last year. That's a big move. Yes, he won.
I don't think they care. They've done this before. I think that they sign players and the players are signed and they play for them. That's what I feel like. Because that's like something that is a take some time. Do a video. You know what I mean? Like in disc golf, it's trends. Right now the trend is when you're going to a new company, you make a cool little reveal video and you spend a little extra money. And you make it, you make your player feel special, right?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't done.
My question is like, is Emerson too low on the totem pole? That's like my question.
No.
Like, is if they sign someone higher than, like, did he not meet their threshold of like, oh, we're going to roll out the red carpet? Or you just, are you, I mean, it sounds like you're just saying Innova doesn't roll out the red carpet.
I don't think
for whoever.
So.
Okay.
Didn't they just, they leaked somebody else too, like last year. They've done it before. I know that.
Okay. Yeah. I'm not entirely sure.
That's what I'm saying. And it, and if they are going like, oh, well, Emerson's not that good of a player, then that's a, something to be said too, because he is.
No, he's, I mean, he won a big tournament
last
year.
There's not a lot of people who won last year, man.
No, he won a big tournament last year, so.
He did get on the, they have a little Instagram deal, and I saw that today, to where they had him on there, and he was like, talking about his roots and how
it's just after the fact. It's like you missed the big people finding out before you actually make the announcement.
Here's another thing in our sport that I feel like I wish was better. Let's say that they do leak it and they put that thing in there. How about an apology? Why not? Hey, we didn't mean to do that. Like, we are so excited about having Emerson Keith on here. You get what I mean?
Yeah.
Does that
make sense? No, I mean, that would definitely be better for the fan base too. You know,
that's what I'm talking about, the fans. They're going to do whatever.
Yeah, think about
if
you're an Emerson Keith fan and you found out where he's going just by someone posting being like, hey, I saw his name on.
Hey, here he is.
Yeah, it's like, I don't know. A person I did not see leaving their sponsor this year was Nicholas Antilla leaving Discmania. This kind of came out of left field for me. Was not expecting this, have no idea where he's going, but I think he does because he bought himself a nice car. And I don't think, you know, if you lose your job, I don't think you go out and buy a car.
Nicholas is not going to lose his job.
No, but, you know, I'm saying like,
right.
No,
I get where you're
at. Yeah. If you don't have a sponsor lined up already, you're probably not going out and buying a nice car. So I think he has something in the works. And him not playing with Discmania, that's a weird one for him, me. Like, I just think of him in Discmania. Similar to Simon. But now, you know, Simon's done a good job to where now it's Simon and MVP. So
Nicholas
we'll see if
is
it's
electric.
The same.
He's fun to watch, man.
Really, really, really good player.
So is Emerson.
Lucky Lawrenson.
Watch.
Lucky Lawrenson signs a 4-year deal with Thought Space Athletics in a partnership with Infinite Dis.
Very
Lisa
cool.
Fakis is leaving Lone Star. Jessica Weiss, Bradley Williams, and Haley King all re-sign with Innova. Katrina Allen continues next year with DGA. Parker Welk is leaving Prodigy. Lauren Lettinen re-signs with Latitude 64. Gavin Babcock signs a 2-year extension with Discmania. Sullivan Tipton, who, if you guys remember from USDGC, had a really, really great performance. He is leaving Discraft. And the last one, because I want to talk about this one, Macy Valadiez is not re-signing with Dynamic Disc. So this was the one that was kind of dropped on my head right before the show. Because I just thought, you know, just like all those announcements I had, like, yeah, it's just, it is what it is. No, Yuli, it's not is what it is. This is what she posts. I hope everyone had a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year. I just wanted to shed some light on the recent announcement that I will no longer be representing DD. Jamie is her husband. Jamie and I found out I was pregnant a few days after the Pro Tour Championships. At this time, I had been approached by a few other companies, but after discussing with Jamie, we decided staying with DD would probably be the best since I've been with them for 3 years already. Before I posted or announced I was pregnant, DD sent their first offer to me for next year. After feeling like I had played a good season, which she did, she had some really good finishes, their offer wasn't what I expected, but that's neither here nor there. After a phone call with the team managers, I let them know I was pregnant. I told them I had talked to my doctor and had decided on playing 10 tournaments next year, 9 Pro Tour and 1 All-Star event. We discussed what would be the best route considering I wasn't playing a full tour. Our next time talking, they sent me a different offer, which was unfortunately too low for us to travel. After looking over it, I decided to step away and look elsewhere. Regardless of the current situation, thank you for taking a chance on me 3 years ago. I personally want to say thank you to Jesse Arda, and Currently don't have a sponsor since it's a little late in the year to negotiate with companies considering most teams have finished picking up new players to their team. We'll see what God has in store for me next year. Yikes. So this is a tough one for me because in our contracts with Discraft, the ones that I've signed, there is a play this many tournaments clause. This is how many tournaments you have to play for us to pay you money. Now, obviously, there's stuff in there like injuries and if you know, there's other stuff in there. And I'm wondering, should being pregnant be one of those things? Should getting pregnant be equivalent to tearing your ACL where you're out for an extended period of time? Because I get it to where if I'm looking to sponsor someone, if someone's telling me like, hey, I'm not going to do a full tour because I'm pregnant, the offer I'm going to give them is probably going to be different than if they were going to be full tour. Yeah. So this is a weird one, but what is your take on it?
Yeah, it's definitely a tough situation. If I was a company, I would say, okay, well, let's work through it, you know? What about this now?
Figure out something
exactly
to make
work. And then once you're ready to come back on a full tour, you have our full support because of what she did for the company in 2023. That's where I would sit.
Yeah, and I think at the end of the day, a lot of these negotiations, a lot of these talks, when the going gets tough, when something happens, you really kind of see where you stand with that company.
Yeah.
Because companies are willing to bend the rules or willing to, we can maybe make it work with you. So it is a tough situation. I wish her and her husband the best. They are great people. I've always had good interactions with them. And it's really bad timing too, it sounds like, because it is going to be tough. But hopefully someone listening to the podcast maybe.
Yeah.
There's a good player out there and she's available.
Yeah, and congrats on bringing a kid into the world, honestly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, all right. We will keep you guys updated if we hear anything about that. All right. I just want to list off a few of the dumbest things disc golfers have said or say. This was posted.
We might be on that list with this podcast.
Well, this is more. Yeah.
I've had a couple that did not land very well.
This is definitely more of like a general thing, not me and you specifically. otherwise, we would be in the top 10 for sure. This was posted on Disc Golf Fanatic on Facebook. And here were some of the top responses. That was a great shot if it didn't hit that tree.
Yeah.
I've said that dozens of times. I normally don't get mad. I love that one. Like after you missed a putt and you like punch a tree or something and everyone's like giving you the look. So you have to be like, oh yeah, normally I don't get this mad. And we all know it's like, I don't know if I believe you. I have never had that happen with this disc. That's a good one. After you throw a terrible shot. I'm not sponsored, but I'm only going to throw one brand. I don't know if that's ever been said, but there certainly are people out there that you know are very brand loyal. And if you're brand loyal to Discraft with me and Yuli, we appreciate you. We appreciate you a lot. If it wasn't for that one little branch, I like that one. You can move branch or you can change branch with leaf. Both of those work really well. Good round before the round is over on the 18th tee. And then the final one, what color is it?
That's good.
That's a good one. That's a good one.
I've never not said that.
No. And a part of me feels like I have an easier time finding it if I'm looking for a specific color.
Same.
But is that, I don't know. Maybe that's not actually the case. Any of them that we missed, any that you think of off the top of your head?
My go-to is, how is that even possible?
Yes, that's a good one.
I say that every round multiple times. How is that even possible?
Yeah, that's a good one. One of my favorite segments, we got the wild story of the week. This one is coming from Tom Smalling. I found this one in a Facebook comment. So this wasn't even directed towards us, but It goes like this. Personal story from around last year. Guy on my card accidentally hit a 10-year-old boy in the head with one of his drives. Nasty gash, lots of blood. EMTs had to come help the kid. Delayed the round by about 45 minutes. To the rest of us, the only thing that mattered was the kid was okay. However, the guy that actually hit the kid would not stop talking about how much it threw off his round. Like the two of us who actually tried to help the kid and eventually had to wash blood off our hands and were literally shaking for the next couple holes were primarily worried about the kid's well-being. But this dude was strictly business in the crappiest way. He ends up going on to say, yeah, when can I go put a marker down so I can go wash the blood off my disc? Then he says, do you think we can get them to move the stretcher to the left so we can keep playing? Followed up by, I don't know, hitting that kid has really ruined my whole round. Pretty sure I put a damper on his frolic through the park as well. Crazy story. This guy, he just seems a little oblivious to what's actually important in the world.
Yeah.
If you have a crazy story, if you have a wild story that you want us to read on the podcast, we now have a Gmail account. I don't know how we got this. What do you mean how I got? No, I think it is wildstorytour@gmail.com. Wildstorytour@gmail.com.
Okay.
Send in your wild stories. We'll have our intern David read through them and select the best ones. I'm excited about this next topic, Yuli.
Okay.
We're talking about the biggest flops in disc golf history.
Hit me.
I'm very new to the game, so some of these rang true. I get it. Some of them I'm like, I don't really get it so much. So I picked the ones that kind of jumped out at me. So if there are any that I missed that you can think of, please add in at the end. First one, GK Pro Big Money Skins live show.
Flopadopoulos.
They were talking a huge game. This was going to be insane. Everyone tune in. We're going to show the Disc Golf Network how to do it. Now, we did get that guy. I don't remember his name.
Yeah.
He was electric. He saved the show. He saved the show. He was hilarious. But if you – the Goog, is that what it was? But if you tuned in for a really good production of disc golf, this was not it. This was a swing and a miss. Next big flop, Ideo shoes. The first disc golf shoes, these were going to take over. Everyone was going to wear them. You're wearing a bowling shirt. You could probably wear these shoes to the bowling alley. People would not mistaken them for disc golf shoes. They would think they were actually bowling shoes.
Aren't they still doing things?
Yeah, but I think they're a flop. I don't think anyone's buying them. I think they have sponsored players that wear them, but for their price point, and the fact that what I've heard from people is like they just wear out really, really quickly.
Yeah.
I'd much rather buy three shoes that are going to wear out just as fast, but at least I have three pairs for the price of one pair that's going to wear out the same.
Check.
So a little bit of a flop there. Next one. This is an interesting one. I'd love to get your take on this. Jomez Pro and pre-recorded / edited content was supposed to be king, but they spent too much money and didn't plan for the drop-off after COVID, so Jonathan had to sell it to Disc Golf Pro Tour, and it really feels like the shift to live coverage is back in full swing. Now, some speculation here on them selling it to Disc Golf Pro Tour and stuff, but my question here is more towards what are your thoughts on is pre-recorded, edited content? Is that dipped a little bit more and live streaming going up, you think?
I do think so, but I don't think it has anything to do with Jomez Pro. They still, nothing's changed.
The content's still great.
It's the same content. It happens the same time. Nothing ever stopped.
Mm-hmm.
It's always been there. So that's like kind of silly to me.
Yeah. I don't know if I would consider this necessarily a flop. It got a lot of likes.
Yeah. And let's not forget what Jomez did for the game.
Yeah, like, can you really flop when you have that big of an impact? I don't think you can.
I don't think you can flop when you've literally single-handedly changed the the way that people watch disc golf.
Yeah, I agree with you there.
So that's like, I feel like that's not a flop. In fact, it could be like the opposite.
Yeah, I would definitely. Extreme opposite. I'm going to read some comments. If you think this is a flop, let me know. A decent amount of people on the Facebook comment that like liked it or whatever. Yeah, so yeah. A lot of people.
I see the point as far as whatever, but like I said, nothing's changed. And for what they did for disc golf,
yeah,
it's kind of nuts when you think about it.
Next one. This isn't the biggest flop, but it played a big role in her career. Paige Pierce not getting 1,000 rated at a couple years ago. So much hype. Prep behind it. They even had a special disc already ready to go, but she ended up at 996 before she started to decline. The decline thing, again, that's another kind of, I don't know if I necessarily agree with that. I think just Kristen Tatar has gotten better. I don't know if Paige has really declined, but again, I don't know if this is really, I wouldn't necessarily even consider this really a flop other than I would consider the 1,000, I guess what they're saying is like the 1,000 rated hype. Oh my gosh, I got the hearts going. The 1,000 rated hype slash disc, that's probably a flop because they probably had to throw those discs in the grinder and figure something else out with it. She was close, man. I thought she had a chance.
Yeah, I don't flop. The flop is definitely making a disc and then it not happening. That'd be like,
that's the flop.
Be like me being on hole 18. I have a 3-stroke lead. I take an 8. And I lose the world championships.
Yeah.
And they have my disc made right there.
Ready for it.
Yeah. You're like the hats, you know, when they have the hats made for the championships.
The shirts. Yeah. All the shirts that get donated to Africa.
But at the time, I mean, that's as good as any rated woman had ever gotten. That's opposite. I would say the opposite of a flop again.
Yeah. It's just that specific. I think they're just maybe targeting that specific number. Part.
Gotcha.
Next one. The Las Vegas Disc Golf Expo failed, never happened. At least I got some money back. Well, you didn't get all your money back? Hold up. You didn't get a full refund for that? That's kind of messed up. I don't know if that's true or not, but yes.
Then it's not a flop for them because they still made a little cheddar.
Yeah, they got some money, I guess. Or who knows? Maybe I think they probably spent a lot of money doing the marketing for this. You remember this thing? This thing was supposed to be huge. It's supposed to be massive.
Yep.
Never happened. Never happened. Last one. I don't know anything about this one, so please let me know. It was one word, Vibram.
Oh, yeah. Flop.
What is that?
Vibram discs.
Oh, it was discs.
Yeah, Vibram discs. It used to be the Vibram Open.
I've heard of that. Yeah, I didn't know.
So Vibram, they were sponsored by Vibram, which is the company that makes the soles of all the good shoes, like whatever the best shoes back then, maybe probably still, are made by Vibram rubber, and they came out with discs. I heard they might make a comeback from somebody actually. So it might not be a
maybe
flop.
Not a flop. Maybe not.
Maybe
a
resurgence right there.
Yeah.
What up?
But flops we missed?
Yes, there's one flop.
Ooh.
And I'm going to catch some heat for this. But there's one shot that saved this from being a humongous flop. And it was James Conrad throwing it in on the last hole. The Utah World Championships.
Yeah.
Was a flopadopolis.
Yeah, don't even get me started about the driving range.
Am I right, though?
You are right. There was so much
bad.
But he
single-handedly saved that thing.
I think 5-10 years from now, no one will really even remember that.
Nobody.
No one will remember all the crap.
Nor should they.
No one will remember all that stuff that went down, how terribly run that tournament was by the PDGA. They'll just remember James Conrad. You're right. I hope PDGA sent James Conrad like a little bit of like, hey, man, here, appreciate you, brother.
So maybe some of that money they made from the thing that didn't happen. No, they weren't a part of that. I'm kidding.
Now, there was weird stuff happening, though. You don't announce the biggest purse of all time and then, like, later on be like, oh, wait, we have more money that we're even adding more. That's so weird. There was so much weird stuff going. Go back and listen to some of the podcasts that we did. I think this was on debate night, actually, so before Tour Life. Go back and listen to some of those podcasts. There was weird stuff going on all over that tournament.
Yeah.
All right, this week in Foundation Disc Golf, some big, big things happening. First one being Trevor got added to the creator team for Finish Line Discs. He's going to have a signature disc in a few months. He did say it will not be a putter. That's all we can confirm. Other big news, Grip Locked is going to be moving to their own channel. We've maybe have hinted at this. This channel right here is eventually going to be Tour Life. Right now, it says Foundation Podcast. It'll eventually be Tour Life, and you will just see only Tour Life, the live streams, the clips, the shorts. That's all you'll see on this channel eventually. What this allows us to do is a few things. Right now, we're running like 5 or 6 different shows on this channel. So we have a lot of content constantly going out. By Griplocked having their own channel and eventually us having our own channel, we're going to be able to create more content for the people that want it. So this is a win for everyone involved. And all the Tour Life crew, all you guys supporting us in the chat, nothing's changing on your end. All you're going to see now on this channel, eventually, not yet, but all you'll see on this channel at some point will be Tour Life. So make sure you go over and subscribe to Griplocked, their new podcast, YouTube channel. I think they're also doing a giveaway. They hit 1,000 subscribers already, so they're going to be doing a giveaway. So the link will be in the description down below for you to go over and check out their podcast. I think we're going to be doing clips between now and the start of the season. And then once the season starts, all Griplocked will be over there. All right, listener questions. Yuli, first questions to you. We have a question apiece.
Sweet.
Question apiece. First question. Will Paul Uelberry ever compete in a D-tier tournament?
What's a D-tier?
It's the new, it's like the new tier.
Oh, the flex start.
It's like lower than C-tier. So I think this might
be like a
little. I've already
played
in
a D-tier.
You already did?
I've already played. They already have D-tiers, I believe.
I think this might have been like a little bit of a play on you. I posted that C-tier clip of you talking about C-tiers.
Yeah.
So I think this might be a little bit of a play on that. Did you see?
Maybe
did you see
an XC? That's what that would be, I think.
Did you see Drew Gibson's response to the video?
No. Read it.
Okay. So he goes, in quotes, prolific winner on tour, in quotes, is so much different than winning C-tiers to get your win count up. Macbeth is a prolific winner. Someone with 100 C-tier wins is not, in my opinion. MLB players don't get to go play college games and hit 5 dingers and say, look how good I am at hitting.
Well, I'll respond to that. The first thing is every time I play a C tier, I'm actually entering in the professional open division. I'm not going to a college tournament and competing against collegiate athletes in advance. I'm playing in the open division where you pay an entry fee and you play for money, which is what I do for a living. That's my first one. Second one is, I think I have over 30 A-tier wins that account for part of my over 100 wins, which is, I believe, like top 10 all time. We're pretty close. At least top 20. Guarantee it's top 20 all time. Back in the day, we didn't have a bunch of tournaments like we do now. So I'd like to think that if we did back then, I would have won a couple more. Competition has gotten better. I admit that. Am I a prolific winner like Paul Macbeth? No. Have I ever claimed to be? No. But I know for a fact I've played C-tiers with Drew Gibson in the field and taking that tournament down.
Yeah, I think this take, I'm not down with this take. I think it's a dumb take. And the reason for it, because I've also said on this podcast, I think eventually there will become a time and place where if you do get your Disc Golf Pro Tour card, you're not able to play in certain events. I think that should happen at some point. However, spoiler alert, there are numerous people that have tour cards on the Disc Golf Pro Tour and literally have to live in a van or have to live at their parents' house or have to live some, like, there are so many people on the Disc Golf Pro Tour that have no money in their bank accounts, right? It's not like they're racking up money and now they're going to these C tiers and they're beating people and being like, well, what the heck? This guy's taking my money. Now, obviously it's different for some people, but you can't just say like, oh, well, Paul Ulberry, he's got this sponsorship and this sponsorship. No, Paul Ulberry has a tour card. So does this person. So you can't say this for this person, this for this person, when they are the same exact tier, if that makes sense.
For sure. No, it does. It's also a perfect Drew quote because he takes like what you say and then takes it to the extreme. He likes to do that thing.
No one's going down to college basketball dunking.
I had mentioned my goals. Now, did I reach my goals of becoming a prolific winner? In my mind, what a prolific winner is? Probably not. But I definitely met a goal of winning 100 times on the tour and traveling around the country and winning in almost every state that I visited. Yeah, I mean, I feel like that's a, like, that's something that I'm definitely going to put a feather in my cap for doing, because back then when I was doing it, there wasn't a lot of us that were able to take, like, your game didn't travel. You had to be good to go different places and win.
And you can categorize everything, right? You can say this person was a prolific winner in college. This person was a prolific winner in local tournaments. This person was a prolific winner. You can categorize anything you want. So,
yeah. I mean, that's like,
I don't think you're saying you're a prolific winner on the Disc Golf Pro Tour.
I've had this conversation with him before, and a couple points that I like try to make. Like, Ryan Schwaberg is going to win 400 times. That's insane. Yeah.
That's nuts. That's insane. Very hard. It's hard to do.
And it's not necessarily because of the people that he's beating. Okay. That has a little bit to do with it. Yes. But what it comes down to facts, like what it does is it comes down to facts like this. Okay. In order to win lots of times, it's time. It's the time that you put in to do that. So somebody like him, who's sitting on his couch while I'm out there grinding a C tier and getting dubs, is hilarious to me because when you add up the amount of times that I've gone out there and won, that's over a year where you would have to play every single day and win every single day of your life. That's crazy. It's the time that Brian Schwaberger puts in to going out over and over 400 times. How many days in the year are there? Like, that's right. That's a crazy statistic to think about it like that.
Yeah.
That's waking up, getting the job done every single day. And there's all kinds of different things in all other sports. Like, do assists for John Stockton mean anything because he didn't win a championship? Yeah. It's a statistic.
Yeah.
No, Cal Ripken not missing a game.
It can all, like, at the end of the day, it can all be categorized. It can all be, you know, thrown in this, thrown in that. So, interesting take by Drew. All right. My question is, why did Foundation sponsor Gannon Burr in 2021? And why don't they sponsor other pros? Okay. This is why. The majority of companies in disc golf do not have a marketing team in a way to market their products, market their company. They need to have players. Yeah. They need to have people to throw their discs. They need to have people wear their jerseys. They need to have people wear their bags. They need to have people that are out there doing it. We've seen some companies like Dynamic Discs who have tried to create people that work at Dynamic Discs into influencers, into content creators. And I think, like, Danny, for example, I think it works with him. I think some of the videos and stuff, when I first got into disc golf, I was watching his videos. I think he did a good job. So I think it can work. But trying to turn your warehouse manager into someone that is going to be someone that's interesting on a YouTube channel, not that easy. So the reason why we don't do it anymore is because we have already people pushing foundation, right? We have Robbie C. We have Hunter and Trevor, the bogey bros. We have Connor. We have myself. We have people already doing that for us. And so we sponsored Gannon, and this we did it before we kind of learned about this, but we sponsored Gannon. And the problem with retailers, and it's going to get harder and harder for these retailers, is the only way they make really money off of these players as a retailer is if they can get product of that player in their store and bought. It's you're not going to see a noticeable difference from just sponsoring someone that's like, hey, use my code for 10% off when you shop here. That doesn't really make that big of a dent on how much you have to pay for someone to be sponsored, right? So that's ultimately why we aren't sponsoring any players anymore, is because we didn't really see the return on investment. And we've sponsored a couple people as well, not just Gannon. And we also don't want to like be giving like chips and crackers to people to sponsor them, right? And be like, hey, for this to make sense, we're going to give you $5, when I know they're worth so much more than that, but it's just not financially going to make sense. So that ultimately is the reason behind. Gotcha. But hey, I saw something in Gannon at the very, very beginning. I was like, this kid is freaking good. And he's a super nice kid. Got to talk to him, and Hunter, I think, negotiated that all back then and got him signed up, which was super dope. It's just financially for a retailer, it is so hard for it to make sense to continue on with someone. So that is that. All right. Do you have anything else, Yuli? Any other stories that you wanted to talk about? I got a little bit of housekeeping that we need to run through.
No, get after it. I'm good, man.
Okay.
Yeah.
A little housekeeping here. So Foundation Care, for those that don't know, Foundation Care is something that previously you could pay $2 whenever you buy a disc on foundationdisc.com. You have 30 days to try the disc out. If you're like, this disc isn't for me, I thought it was going to do this, it's not doing this, you can email us, send it back to us, and then you get to basically exchange that out for any disc you want up until that price. That previously was a $2 add-on that you could add. That now is going to be added to every purchase in January. So if you're like, hey, new year, new me, new bag, and you want to try new stuff out, shop over at foundationdisc.com. You'll have Foundation Care for free, and it kind of gives you the ability to be like, hey, I don't really know about this disc. And instead of you being like, oh, I don't want to buy this $18 disc that's just going to sit on my shelf, you can buy the disc, try it out. If it doesn't work, send it right back and get a new one. Next thing, Heiser Club Championships. This was an awesome event that we ran last year for our Heiser Club members. It was fantastic, super sick. It's open right now. So go over to patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. If you are a $10 or $20 annual member, you are qualified for the Heiser Club Championships. And we do a tournament. We did it at New London and a couple other courses. Got a sick trophy for the winner. We did a tour of the retail store, all the podcast studio sets, and then also a tour of the warehouse. And then I did like an hour or 2 hour instruction with a bunch of people with the tech disc. So super fun time. You get to meet with a lot of people that you interact with here on YouTube as well. So if you are interested in the Heiser Club Championship, it's going to be bigger and better this year. Patreon.com/foundationdiscgolf. Tour Life Crew, a lot of new members this week.
Really?
A lot of new members. Shout out to all the new members that have joined the Tour Life Crew. We appreciate all your support. You are what really makes this podcast continue on. Thank you so much. 854 reviews on Spotify, 222 reviews on Apple. Thank you guys for each and every one of you.
Work, though.
Apple is just getting crushed. Spotify is OP Spotify. So if you are listening to Apple, maybe what it is, maybe Apple's just really hard to leave a review.
Maybe. Never
maybe,
done it.
Maybe, yeah. And hey, shout out to Bald Brian, who just gifted one Foundation Podcast membership. Shout out. Let's go. Last thing I got, Yuli. 5K Instagram giveaway. We're at 4,820 at the beginning of the show. We are 180 people away. There are currently almost 1,400 people listening right now. If you have not followed us on Instagram, Instagram.com/tourlife_podcast. You have a chance to win a Yuli disc. You have a chance to win a Dark Horse disc in our giveaway as soon as we hit 5,000 followers. Whew. All right.
That's a lot of house cleaning, man.
There was a little bit of house cleaning there. A little bit of house cleaning there. But I think all in all, that is going to do it. It's a little bit of a quick show tonight.
Yeah.
Not too many deep topics.
That's not a bad thing.
No, I mean, we normally go for 2.5-3 hours. It's nice to give the people a little bit of a short one, because then it's like you leave them wanting more for next week,
that's
right?
True.
That's strategy up here. You got anything else, Yuli?
I'm good, man.
Should I? All right, we're gonna do a little. Let's see, a little teaser here for a video that's coming out in a little bit. That's all you get. That's all you get.
Ooh.
What is that? That's all you get. That's all you get. I will say it's the greatest pull we've ever had. And my buddy's been card collecting for a while. He's collected a lot of baseball cards. He's really big into baseball. He's collected a lot of cards. And I mean, you go to him, he's one of those guys that buys boxes and then keeps them and then maybe resells them later when they go up in value. So he sees that as an investment as well, which makes sense. He said this is the greatest card he's ever pulled out of a pack.
Wow.
So for someone like that that's been card collecting for years and years,
that's crazy.
I just wait until you see my reaction. I was going nuts. So that'll be up on the I think it's called Dark Horse Sports Cards. If you want to check that out on YouTube, Dark Horse Sports Cards, we got tons of content. And I guess me and Yuli, we're gonna open up a card here. We got to figure out what we want to do.
I don't know. I'm down for whatever. I love cards. Love them.
Yeah. We'll see.
I bought one of those old ones with the wax. They were in the wax packaging with the bubble gum.
Trying to get
the Jordan.
Yeah. Were you big in Pokemon? Did you ever do the Pokemon?
Never. I've never done Pokemon. Never done anything with Pokemon.
Okay. That's where it all started for me. I absolutely love the collecting. But I never thought I'd ever get into sport card collecting, but man, I tell you what, like being a, what's your college? Do you have a college name?
I mean, I like ASU, and my grandpa played for the Hoosiers over there in Indiana. So I'm a big fan of the, Indiana.
But obviously Pittsburgh is your team. So yeah, you pulling, gosh, it'd be tough this year. You guys got no rookies.
Pickens. I would still like a second-year guy.
Second-year Pickens? Okay. You believe in him. All right.
He's good, man.
You think so?
I know. He's doing that with no quarterback. He's putting up numbers, bro.
All right. I have a couple Pickens cards. I got a couple Pickens cards, but that I think that's the, to me, it's like the exciting thing is like if you have an
or
NFL team.
Get a nice Watt card. Dude.
Yeah, TJ Watt. If you have an NFL team and you pull that card, that's exciting. But for me, it's college, right? So
yeah,
two of the biggest guys, Anthony Richardson, Gator, and then CJ Stroud, Ohio State Buckeye. Those are my teams. Those are my college teams. So right now is like the glory days. Like I got into it at a great time. Maybe not financially, because a lot of people say the market's way down than it used to be, but I don't really care.
That's good because it should go up.
Yeah, I guess so, right? All right, enough card talk. I'm going to be on a Dark Horse card podcast.
Dark Horse?
Yeah. Well, it's not Dark Horse. It's a card collecting podcast. They just asked me to come on.
Awesome.
Yeah, so we'll see. I feel like I'm decent at podcasting because this is our 51st episode.
Let's go.
But yeah, hey, here's to another 51, man. Hopefully, you got to be there for 100.
I'll be there for 100.
If we got to make sure 100,
it's gonna be at Christmas.
We got to make sure 100 happens, like where we, if stuff is happening or whatever, we just film it previously.
Okay.
But I think you might be right. We kind of might be started the podcast in a really sick time
of
where the big milestones are going to be right around New Year's. Like, there's 52 weeks and we're on 51. So, so what would that
going to be close?
Is it be, it, I'm trying to do the math. So that would be, it'll be like, it'll be like a week before New Year's.
It'll be Christmas.
We'll be our hunt. We'll be our 100th. Yeah. It'll be literally it'll be on Christmas Day. Freaking, if it is, I'm showing up in a full Santa outfit, everything, beard and all. All right. We appreciate all you guys. We love all you guys. Thank you so much for making this podcast what it is. I guess this is technically the New Year's podcast, even though we're already in 2024. Yep. But hey, 2023 was a heck of a ride for us. We really do appreciate it. This was something that started at just me kind of talking to myself. Yuli called in a couple times, and then I was like, bro, we have really good conversations. Let's make this a thing. And it's turned into now Griplock hates it. Hunter and Trevor hates it when I say this, but it's true. I have access to the numbers. It's turned into the number one disc golf podcast. So that's all because of you guys, all of our listeners. We really appreciate each and every one of you. And I have a feeling next week might be a big one.
Me too. There's going to be
some crazy
feeling
next
stuff
week
coming up.
Might be a big one. Yeah. So stay tuned for that. We appreciate you all, and we'll see you guys in the next one. Peace.
All right, Dunzo.